You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Janice Sloan. Janice, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for talking with me.
So Janice, tell me, where can you just start out talking about, like I always do, what are you working on in your studio, and maybe what does your studio look like?
My studio is in my apartment, and I have an old, unrenovated East Village apartment that I've had since I was 19. So it's you know, kind of tenement museum-like. And the biggest room in my apartment, I have a three-room apartment, is my studio. So my studio takes up most of my place. And it's full of everything, my life, pretty much.
But it's a one-bedroom. It's an East Village kind of old one-bedroom or a studio?
Yeah, well, one-bedroom, if you want to call it a bedroom. It's a very small room, and I have a shower in it. That's the bedroom. And then I have a regular-sized kitchen, and then I have one big room. That's my studio. So it's mostly studio here. And I have a lot of glitter all over everything. I once went on a residency, and I thought, what can I do here that I can't do anywhere else? And I thought, glitter, because it makes such a huge mess. And then after I came back from it, I opened up everything I made, and it exploded in my apartment, and now I've given up. And
you can't get rid of it.
I have glitter everywhere. Right now, I am working on a few different things. I'm doing these digital kind of drawing paintings with photographs on my on the computer, and I'm making heads. I've been making these life-size heads. First, I was making them out of pieces of vinyl Halloween masks, and they were all kind of grotesque and all pinned together, so they made something else, some other kind of face. And then they got very abstract. And with the drawings that I'm doing from photographs, on top of photographs, their heads also. So I have this fascination with heads and skin and plastic surgery, impermanence. So the photos that I'm working from now are medical photographs that I found on a blog of a doctor that goes to Africa every year, and he saves so many lives. And I just found these fantastic photographs that I've been working from because they remind me a lot. They're very sculptural.
So what are the photographs of? They're of reconstructive surgery he did, or what are the photographs?
Well, they're people. They're mostly people that come to him that have cancer or really bad, just bad tumors and stuff on their faces. And so he photographs them before and after, and he happens to take really good pictures. And it's funny because a lot of the photos, they're smiling because they're so happy to be getting attention and help. And this guy's amazing. And so I've just been working with these photographs, and they kind of relate to my sculptures that I've been making, and which are also influenced from African sculpture and ritual objects and just a lot of different things, painting, abstract painting.
But the medical photographs is a very interesting and a very different direction, really, isn't it? Because there's all this content kind of in those images, whereas these other ones, and I was looking at the Heal series, sometimes there seems to be, you know, the content is almost completely painterly. But in this, in the medical photographs, they sound very kind of specific. What's happening there?
Well, the thing is, I think first I was drawn to them because they were so sculptural, and then I just started working with them, and in a way feeling like maybe I was healing them, maybe I could make this very painful thing into something beautiful. you know, and then I thought maybe at some point of even getting in touch with this doctor and you know, donating or doing something that, because I really, I don't know, he's really amazing. And I just, I mean, it started not really from that kind of medical photographs. I was really fascinated with plastic surgery because I catered for many years and I saw such incredible plastic surgery at these catering jobs I used to work at. And after that, I got a book on these skin flap surgery. And so I've just been working with the face and skin and in one form or another for a really long time. And even years ago, I had a model that I photographed for about 7 years until he passed away. And he had very elastic skin, and I was photographing him pulling his skin. And so I've just been in this kind of skin fascination and impermanence of the body thing for really a long time. So it's kind of all fits together, as abstract as it might seem.
It doesn't seem abstract. So I mean, since we are looking over that kind of span of work and in a sense following a certain subject, have you arrived at any kind of different ideas or conclusions about plastic surgery and the state of, I don't know why we need it, but what we're doing as a race? I mean, is it in a way, because it's obviously a grotesque or something, but in another way, that's what we do, right? We make ourselves different.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that, you know, when the doctor, with the photographs that I'm working on now, he's not really doing plastic surgery, but I think my fascination with it is just basically bad plastic surgery. I think it's just, you know, how people, I mean, I can spot it a mile away. I mean, I see somebody walking in or walking towards me, I can spot it so quickly.
Plastic surgery?
Plastic surgery, like everybody's got the same mouth, everybody has the same nose. It looks very, very fake. And I mean, I think aging is scary. And I, you know, I understand it as a woman, like things, your face starts changing and you get freaked out and there's a few different ways you can go. You can get plastic surgery and not really look younger, but look a little weird, you know, or you can let yourself let it all happen, but just be healthy, you know, when I look at, you know, women, for example, who have had plastic surgery, you kind of understand it. But, you know, it's different. It's tricky, you know. I think I'm just interested with that whole process. It's kind of fascinating. And you know, men do it too. And I think, you know, Hollywood, you see it because they have to do it, or else they don't get any work.
Yes, well, so you're attuned to that phenomena as a cultural phenomena more than probably anybody I know. Is there something changing? What's happening in the years? What's happening in 2016 in terms of what people are doing? I mean, there's this guy in these medical images, but also is the world looking at that differently, or is something evolving in terms of these kind of things?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's you know, society, and you have to. Especially for women, you kind of can't look old. Nobody wants you then, and. I mean, that's a basic, you know, I'm just saying, I'm just generalizing. It's that, you know, there's this pressure, and, you know, like we all know, we look at fashion magazines and the models are 13. And, you know, I used to work at these catering jobs, and these women were, you know, older and starving themselves and, you know, trying to look 13, you know, so they could, and it's just... They could never look 13, you know, and it's just your role model for everybody is a little twisted. But, I mean, my work is not just about that. I mean, it was, I go for more of, you know, impermanence and skin and change and that nothing really lasts. And,
you also go between it sometimes. They seem to almost like tell stories or be narratives, like in images where you can see a face or there's an expression. But, you know, many other times it's, and I'm talking about the Heal series from 2016. Mm-hmm. Many other times they seem completely abstracted so that we don't know we're looking at a face at all.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I mean, I painted for a long time, and I still think of myself as a painter. And I don't want things to really look forced. And so sometimes, you know, different things happen when you're making stuff. And so I want it to, I like things that are organic. And so, you know, sometimes things look more like a head, sometimes they don't, because that's kind of what happens. And I didn't really want to push it too much to make it too representational, because then that's, I don't know, didn't seem to be no reason to do that. So that's why.
Well, it's to me, it's almost like a different medium, or it's a different way of working with a medium. But when it's abstract and it's a photograph like that, it really occupies a kind of experimental realm in that world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
there's
not that many experimental photographers that really are doing completely non-narrative things that look like a painting, you know, unless they're photographing,
right,
you know, a collage or something.
Well, you know, if they look really cool when they're printed, because I print them on this very matte paper, so the texture is almost like pastel, so they really don't even look like photographs when they're printed, because I print them in large format, and they're very velvety, so they really look nice, and they really don't look like a photograph when they're printed. Which is what I kind of like, that ambiguity.
Yeah, so the surface is what's also
painterly,
but almost like a watercolor or something that there's.
They almost look like a drawing. I mean, it's hard. Obviously, it's hard to see that on the computer online. You know, like I had a studio visit the other day, and this woman said, "It's so great to see some in real life, and then when you see them on the website, you can kind of get it more because you can understand the texture.
Well, especially blacks, right? Very matte blacks are impossible almost to translate.
Yeah, and the color, too, because it's just, I can't explain. It looks like pastel. Like, you know, when you make a solid pastel, you know, area when you're drawing, that texture and that way the colors, they really look like that. They came out cool. So, you know, I'm looking forward to printing more of them. I have a few now, but I haven't done them all. And I don't really have pictures of my newest heads on my website yet, because they're kind of hard to photograph, so I'm working on that. But I guess some of the old ones.
Why are they harder to photograph?
Well, because one is, they're both, two of them are glitter. One is silver glitter, and glitter is really hard to photograph for some reason. It just doesn't, I don't know, I'm having a hard time with it. I have to work on it more. So thinking about all the reflection, and it
it's almost impossible, right? Like they almost, glitter, you sort of need to move around to see it, right?
And also, like, what you're wearing, you have to, like, you know, I don't know, wear white or be naked or something. Because any color you're wearing reflects in the piece. So it's kind of funny. But, I haven't had time, so I gotta do that. But those, the ones I have now are pretty abstract and looking, I guess, kind of grotesque. I'm putting together a grotesque show.
They do look grotesque. That's what I was going to kind of ask, because that's how it sort of sounds. They are kind of grotesque in the end.
I've been told that for a long time.
There's nothing wrong with that. It is what it is. I mean, bacon is grotesque, isn't it?
For so long I've been getting that about my work, like that it's grotesque, so I've just kind of go with it now. So, and then I tried, you know, I didn't want to make grotesque work, and it wasn't intentional. It's just what came out. I was never even thinking about it. And I don't know. They kind of end up coming out that way, in a way. But there, I feel like there's so many more grotesque artists that I sometimes I can't understand what people are saying that my work looks grotesque. Like, look at Paul McCartney for somebody.
Right. A lot of people, yeah, absolutely. And so what will happen with this current work, do you think, with the medical images, you know, will that be shown anywhere in particular? Are you have plans for an edition there?
Well, I'm working on one very small, one show with two other artists with a curator that we're looking for a venue that has kind of a, like, grotesque theme to it. And then another group show with some other artists and another curator from Greece that I worked with years ago when I was in a show called Skin at the DESTA Foundation in Athens a while back. So it's the same curator that I worked with that show is going to curate this other show. Hopefully will happen. And I'm just putting together new bodies of work to look for a place to show them myself.
How do you feel about it? I mean, just because I wanted to ask you one more question on that, and maybe it's a kind of can of worms, but how do you feel about the term grotesque? Like, what does that mean? Is that something you can embrace, or you don't want that to be associated with it? I mean, is it a negative thing, a grotesque, and, you know, or do people say it negatively, or what is it?
Well, I think it depends on the person. I mean, I think sometimes when you look at things that people think are grotesque, you know, it's kind of like what's beautiful. You know, when I've been looking at these, you know, poor people that have deformities and all, you know, all this stuff that people have to live with, and, you know, what is that grotesque? Is it beautiful? Is it normal? Is it not? It's fine. You know, I mean, they're individuals, you know, and I don't know. It's a tough call to say grotesque. I don't really like it. I don't really like it when it's in term talked about for people, you know?
Yeah, it sounds some demeaning somehow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's everybody.
Judgmental,
you know,
sound like it's just describing a form. It sounds like a something.
Well, it's something definitely painful for that person to have that going on with them, you know, and they have to transcend that in some way. And
right,
you know,
like the elephant man, we're talking about something like that, right?
Yeah, and people who have really serious stuff going on. And so, you know, and then there's the way that people respond to them, and, you know, but then it's funny because as you look at it more and more and more, it just starts to look, they just look different. It's not grotesque or anything. It's just that they're, it just doesn't look like everybody else. I mean, in the terms of saying grotesque in art, it's just a category. So you get an idea of what somebody means, I guess. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Someone's grotesque, you're like, oh, okay. But then that's not so good either, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I don't really like it, but I don't know. I think it just depends on the context. I don't really use it. I mean, I hear it, and some people want to put me in that category sometimes, and so I just, you know, I don't fight it. I just say, whatever, okay.
Right. I always thought of it as all right, or the only, I don't think I use that much, except when remembering there was a commencement speech by a well-known writer that I'll think of in a minute, but he was talking about the idea of the grotesque in his commencement speech, and the way he described it was when there's a good value that is overused and then becomes bad. He said, for example, you guys are graduating, you need to save some money, right? And you need to, you know, get a job and maybe get a house or an apartment. And he said, so that's good. You have to be thrifty and save. He said, but if you keep saving and you're still thrifty, after you have a good job, you're becoming a miser. And that miser is a grotesque of a good value.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was
yeah.
Very interesting. I mean, he made a more of a political statement by saying at that time, I think it was Reagan or something, and he was saying patriotism is also a good value. But if you break the law of the, you know, of the country in order to be a patriot, then that's
right.
A task of you're a kind of grotesque patriot, which is a different sort of idea.
Yeah,
of,
the meaning changes. The meaning changes, I think. I think Yeah, I think it depends on, I don't know, I mean, we're making art. I think it depends, if that's your intention, that's okay. And if it's not your intention, I think it just depends on the person. I mean, it's not really my intention. I think sometimes the work comes out that way because that's just how I'm expressing myself, and maybe I feel like I like my work to be very raw and visceral and organic, and for you to really feel it and to be strong. So maybe that sometimes could translate in that way. I think it just depends. I mean, that's always been my thing, that I've always kind of wanted to really feel something, have somebody really feel something strongly when they looked at it. Whatever it is, they really don't like it strongly, good, that's fine too. You know, I don't know, whatever.
Right. I, of course, agree. That's really what art is, right? One last question is, I always ask people, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but is there a book you're reading now or a magazine or anything? It could be off-topic, could be a blog, but I've been asking people recently, what are you reading now?
What am I reading? Well, today I'm looking at African Masks, a book of African masks. That's what I'm reading today. A book on African masks and Ashtanga Yoga by David Swenson. So two really different things.
Janice, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.